That's all right. Get that off your mind now. Don't worry about it. You don't need to write no. Just put that away. Don't worry about it. Get it off your mind. It'll turn up. Good to see everyone this morning. We are where in Revelation? 14. Huh? 14. Thank you, brother. We're in 15. We finished 14. But we're going to talk about 14. We have to talk about 14 because now, somebody tell me something that was in 14. Okay. It begins out that it begins that way, doesn't it? It starts out that way. It talks about different visions that John gets. How many were there? Well, no. I mean, anybody can look and tell me. Can I look? How many were there? How many, honey? Four. How many think she's right?
I know there's four angels.
Well, if there's four angels, how many visions are there?
Four.
How many think she's right? Raise your hand if you think Doris is right.
Boy, are you old?
My goodness.
Are you wrong?
Raise your hand if you think she's wrong. Oh, my goodness. Come on. She's right. She's right. The first vision he sees is a heavenly vision. It's the end result of being sealed. The 144,000 in chapter 7 were chosen 12,000 from each tribe. 12 tribes, 144,000. They were sealed. You remember he said, "Hurt not the earth nor the sea until I have sealed." What's the next two words? This is in chapter 7, by the way. Starts with an S. Next there's E. Next there's R. Thank you. Until I have sealed my servants. The 144,000 are chosen and sealed for a ministry. They are to go and preach the gospel during this time. But could I say to you, and to me, so were we. We were sealed until the day of redemption. But folks, we weren't just sealed to be saved. We were sealed to go serve. We were sealed to go and give out the gospel. You say, but I'm not a preacher. I beg to differ with you. The Bible says that we are given the ministry. Now, what does it mean to minister? Well, it can mean to preach, to teach, to testify, to be a witness to help others. We are given the ministry of what? Starts with R, next letter's E, next letter's C, next letter's O, next letter's N. Thank you, brother. For we are given the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? Exactly. Listen, if you're not reconciled back to God, you're lost. You cannot be saved without reconciliation. So what is it saying? We're given the ministry of going out and telling people how they can be saved. I tell you, Doris was there. I think she's the only one. Not that that's bad. That's just a statement. She was there, and Judy was there, and I was there, and Dan was there. But this past Monday and Tuesday, we went up to First Free Will in Elizabethton, and we heard a man, Mike McCoy. He's an evangelist. What does an evangelist do? Well, is an evangelist different than a pastor?
No.
Oh, he is, honey. He is.
He's not at one church.
No. It's their assignment. It's their assignment. A pastor is called to preach and to pastor the flock. But an evangelist is called to go out, not to minister to the flock, but to try to add to the flock through the gospel that he preaches. Evangelism is trying to get other sheep to add other sheep. Well, anyway, he preached the first night on love. Oh, boy. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit showed up on him, and I had me a time, and I'd say Doris had her time, but I wasn't paying attention to Doris. He preached on love, and he talked about how love, what was it, honey? What? Will you quit worrying about that?
I'm worried about that check.
We'll find that check. Now, what were those 3 points on love?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, now, see, you've got me. I knew them all three. I'm going to go from the reverse. Love lasts, love labors, and love listens. Only he had it in reverse order. Love listens. Love listens. When you're down, love listens. You know what he's talking about, don't you? God is love. Listen, if you're a child of God, and things aren't going real good for you, and you're a little bit down, or even depressed, the Bible says his ear is always bent toward you. He's listening. What's he listening for? He's listening for you to cry out to him, and to know that if you cry out to him, he's going to listen. And he's not just going to listen. He's going to help you. And then it said, love what?
Labors.
Oh, and he talked about how love was laboring on the cross for us. Oh, boy, I tell you, I had me shouting time back then. And then he talked about how love lasts. How for eternity, we're going to enjoy love. Because love lasts. And you say, well, what's that got to do with us? Well, it's got everything to do with us. If your brother or sister fails you, faults you, says something against you, what are we to do? And that's a sign of love. No, it's not supposed to, honey. It is.
Okay.
That's the idea. But so here, the 144,000 are sent out to evangelize. So what are they doing? They're wanting to add. They're wanting to go out, and they're sent to whom? Well, a certain lost. Huh? Israel. Now, there may be some Gentiles that hear them and get saved. I don't know if Gentiles get saved during this 7-year period or not. I don't know. I do know Jews do. I can prove that by the Bible. So I know that for a fact. So that's why they're sent out. But after they're sealed, this shows where they are. Where are you going to be? That's where they were. That's where they were. See, we don't want to look at this revelation and say, well, I may not even be here. That's for the future. That has nothing to do with me. Oh, it's got everything to do with us. Do you think they're the only ones that choose the beast, folks? All you got to do is look around and listen a little, and you'll see every day people choosing the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They're just not here physically yet, I don't think. Could be. But I can tell you this. Spiritually, they're doing it every day. Well, the results are the same. The punishment's the same. If you choose the dragon and the beast and the false prophet, whether now or then, the verdict's the same. The punishment's the same. You're going to see that. You're going to see that. So then after the 144,000, and after he describes the 144,000, you remember he gave this description of them, didn't he? He said that they were had not been defiled by women. They were virgins. And I said, we're not talking about physically. We're talking about spiritually. We're talking about purity and innocence. And listen, if you're not pure and innocent, you're lost. Because that's who God is wanting. That's who God is saving. And that's who God has added to the church. He says that he might present the church to him without spot and without blemish and undefiled. And that's what it says here. It says, for they are undefiled. And then it says, for there is no guile found in their mouth. Remember, and I told you, I confessed to you about not in a braggadocious way. I confessed to you in a shameful way of my language before I saved. But you haven't heard since 1982. I can guarantee you can't find one soul on this earth that's heard a word come out of my mouth like that. You say, Tom, now you're bragging. No, I'm telling you, you get changed. I'm telling you, there's a change made. There's a change made. When you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, there's a change made. That's why if I don't see a change, folks, I ain't buying. You say, well, Tom, are you judging? No, I said I'm not buying. I don't judge anybody. God will judge everybody. But listen, if you make a profession that I see, and then I see you a few weeks later and you're living just like you were before you made that profession, I ain't buying. And you shouldn't be buying. And that person shouldn't be buying. They're being deceived. There's a change comes over you. Now, does that mean that every bad, I hate to say habit because sin is not a habit. Bless God, sin. But every bad sin that you were committing before you were saved, does that mean that you're going to instantaneously drop it? No. Because you're still in the... But I'm going to tell you one thing. You're going to be fighting it. Huh? You're going to be fighting it because you hate it. And when it rears its ugly head, you hate it. And every day that goes by that you're in the Word and seeking God and wanting to honor God, it gets easier. I'm telling you, it gets easier. Listen, staying away from sin's a lot easier for me today than it was in 1982. I can tell you that. That's just called growing and maturing. But that's what happens over time. But that doesn't necessarily mean it. So here they are. And it talks about their character. Well, why does it talk about their character? Well, their character is the same character of the one they're with. Who's the one they're with? God. Oh, thank you. The Lamb. Listen, it's the Lamb that saves you. It's the Lamb that seals you. And it's the Lamb that gives you His character. He's undefiled. You're undefiled. He's holy. You're holy. He's righteous. You're righteous. He's without guile. You're without guile. You're without fault. He's without fault. It's His characteristics. It's not yours. He gives it to you. For by grace through faith are you. And that not. Listen, you didn't conjure up the faith to save you. Can I tell you that? So don't stick your chest out and say, well, the day I got faith. No. The day you believed, He gave you faith. Nobody has that saving faith, folks, till they believe God and that they believe the Lamb. And then they're sealed. And then they've got the characteristics. And then the next vision was what? You say, Tom, why are we going through this? That's just my way of teaching. I just want to, you evidently didn't get it because none of you can answer a question I've asked yet. The second vision was what? Don't look. Come on, help me. The second vision was what? It talked about the mercy of God. And how was the mercy of God demonstrated here? We've already seen the saving grace of God demonstrated in the 144,000, right? But now what do you need to get saved? You need mercy, right? Let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, listen, if you're unsaved, you've got a great need. But if you come to the throne of God, you'll find it. So he says, this, the next one was His mercy, and it's this angel flying through the heavens. You say, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. I'm just telling you what it says. You believe whatever you want to. It says, there's an angel flying through the heaven, preaching the everlasting gospel. Right? To who? To them that dwell on the earth. And I told you something that I compared it to. What was that? Oh, yeah. You remember the Bible says that Noah preached how long? 120 years. And then the rain came, right? What happened? No. You'd be wrong. He preached 120 years. And then, brother, God showed mercy. He said, I'm going to give you 7 more days. I'm going to give you 7 more days. I'm going to leave this door open 7 more days. He done said, hey, 120 years, it's here. God. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, aren't you glad for the mercy of God? Aren't you glad? Oh, listen, if not for the mercy of God, I'd be in hell right now. You say, Tom, that everybody says that. Well, I'm telling you, if not for the mercy of God, I'd be in hell right now. I would have died without God. But His mercy. You say, Tom, why did He show you mercy? Well, I've got my belief. You can have yours. I believe because I had a mom and dad wouldn't let go of him. They saw that wayward boy. They saw that fool out there that they'd taken to church, that they'd told about God. But they can see he's not right. And they're praying. And they're seeking God. I believe God honored that. Because I'm standing here saved today. I'm not in hell. I'm standing here saved. I'm not going to hell. I'm standing here saved because of the mercy of God. And He's showing that mercy. He's flying. He's sending an angel. And then watch the next vision. Oh, another angel comes along and says, oh, by the way, he says, now, I just sent an angel to preach to you the gospel. I'm going to tell you about that system you're in. You know, Satan's system, it's called Babylon, by the way. It's both religious and economic, and we'll see it later in full. But he says, I'll just tell you, I'll just give you a little bit. It's falling. It's not going to survive. That system you're in, that religion you're relying on, that life you think you have. You may be wealthy, but that life you think you have is falling. You may be poor, and you may be blaming your circumstances on everything that's happened to you, but that life you're living is going to fall. Listen to me, he says. Listen to me. Listen to me. Where you're at's not going to make it. That building you're in is not going to survive the earthquake. That forest you're in is not going. I'm going to stop here and have prayer that she'll find that check, or we're not going to make it. That forest that you're in, it's going to burn down. Where you're at, it's not going to make it. Listen, God is saying this. I'm not saying this. He's saying it to a world that hates him. But he loves them. So much that he says, hey, it's not going to survive. Why would you stay in a place that can't survive? And then he comes along and he says, not only is that system not going to make it, you're not going to make it. Because the next thing they see is what? Well, you're reading it now. Go ahead. Huh? What's the next thing they talk about there? After Babylon's fallen, what does he say? You're reading it. Look at it. Tell me. Huh? What's it say, huh?
The wrath of God, the drink of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the
You remember we talked about that. Listen, he talks about if you stay where you're at, it's going to fall. And not only is it going to fall, you're not going to make it because you're going to drink of the wine of the wrath of God that is poured out without measure. And we said that was what, John? You answered three times on that. You've answered three times. This will be the fourth. You say, Tom, can you remember that well? I can in here, brother. Undiluted. Full strength. That was your words. That was your words. Full strength. You know, there's some medications you can't take full strength. There's some medications that have to be diluted. Otherwise, they'll kill you. I mean, if you take, did you realize that if you take 100% heroin, you can't survive it? Did you know that? Now, heroin is an opiate, right? And it's what a lot of people get hooked on. But they only get hooked on a measured amount. You can't give somebody 100% heroin. It'd kill them deader than 4 o'clock. Well, what do you think causing these overdoses? People get hooked on it, and now they'll take anything and just shoot it. And he says, listen, you're going to take my wrath full strength. Full strength, without measure. And then he talks about the length of your punishment. He says, the smoke of their torment rises how long? You say, torment? Folks, God's not fooling. And God's not funning. This world would have us think that God is just some person up there who's ambivalent. Oh, you don't believe that? Okay, well, then I'll read it to you. Look at Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1. Now, what is it that's going to be poured out without mixture? Huh? Now, what do you think wrath means? What do you think wrath means? Give me a word that's synonymous with wrath.
Sin.
Hmm?
Sin?
No. It's a punishment for sin, though. Huh? Well, that's an end result. Huh? Well, let me ask you something, John, since you've answered closely. Have you ever been so angry that you lost control?
Well, can't remember.
Okay, well, if you can't, that's okay. I have.
Not lately.
I have. I've been so angry that I cried and lost control. I was wroth. Now, that's sin for me. Did you know that God is going to be wroth?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And he's not going to lose control. And it won't be sin either. Did you know that his wrath will be righteous? Did you know that his wrath will be holy? His wrath will be just, too. And let me tell you something. If you think man can get angry and do some damage, boy, when God gets so... The word is really this. It's heavy breathing, passion, so angry. You've seen these cartoons, haven't you, where the bull, you know, and the smoke's coming out the bull's nose. He's mad. Boy, he's mad. And when the bull's mad and the smoke's coming out his nose, you better get out of there, because I'm telling you right now, you're not good enough to dodge him. Well, that's just a cartoon, folks. When God gets angry, he says, kiss the son. Lest he be angry but a little. Well, here's what it says. Zephaniah chapter 1. The word of the... File that. The word of the Lord, which came unto Zephaniah, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. You know anybody can do that, Becky? I don't. You say, well, now we've got nuclear weapons that can... Listen, we could have every nuclear weapon in the world be exploded. And it'd be that right there. You say, I can't see that. That's exactly right. That's how much it compare to the power of God. Who do you think made them atoms where they make them bombs? God created the atom. God's got all the power, folks. Do you know how powerful the sun is? That if we moved 1 inch... 1 inch closer than we currently are. You know what happened to everybody in here?
Burn it.
Burn it. But did you know that that's just one son? There's untold number of sons in the universe. Well, what makes the sun keep working? What makes the earth keep turning in the exact same spot and don't move at all? Then the Bible says that he created it, and by his word it is sustained. That's power, folks. That's power. And that's the power that this world's going to face in the end. Don't you worry about nuclear bombs going off. If it does, you'll just disintegrate and you'll be in heaven anyway. What difference does it make? I'd rather face that bomb than God without his son. So he says, I'll utterly consume, and I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven, the fishes of the sea, the stumbling block with the wicked, and I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I also will stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Chimrims with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. Listen, what he's saying is, everyone that goes different than I say, that worships different than I say, I'll destroy you from off this earth. You say, well, then that's total annihilation. It's over with. Oh, no, 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 no. He's just going to take you from the earth. Your next place is hell. We have so diluted hell, folks. I mean, I've even heard people that claim to know the Lord say, boy, it's hot as hell out here today. I'm going to tell you something. Bear watch that flippancy. First of all, it ain't as hot as hell. What do you mean you hope you never find out? Hey, my goodness, do you know the Lord?
I do know the Lord.
Then don't ever say that again. I hope we never find out. You're not going to find out. I tell you, y'all don't listen to a thing I say in here, I don't believe. But here, he's talking about this, and he comes over to verse 14, and he says, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near. Brother, bless your heart, brother. Good to see you back. Boy, I'll tell you what, if I could dress like you, I'd get the best dressed award.
Thank you.
Tell you one thing, that man can, he can style and profile. I'll tell you that. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. And hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there. Who was it saying this? Thus saith. Listen, God is saying that if you don't know me in that day, you're going to cry bitterly. Now listen, it's one thing for me to talk about you crying bitterly. I mean, that's what I know about bitterly. But when God says it, you think about the bitterness with that. You think about that. So he says, that day is a day of trouble, distress, wasteness, desolation, darkness, gloominess, clouds, thick darkness, a day of the trumpet, alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon. I'm going to tell you something. Just as sure as you're sitting where you're sitting, I'm standing where I'm standing, this is going to happen. I don't know when. This is going to happen, folks. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the message we better be getting out. Storm clouds are gathering, like the Bible said. But it wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. The rain's coming. The wrath is on the way. If you don't know Christ, you better get to know him. If you're not in the ark, you better run as fast as you can. It may be closing. Now look, if you will, at chapter 15. Chapter 15 in Revelation is simply an introduction to 16. And he says, "And I saw another wonder." Now, how many wonders have we seen? Another sign. How many have we seen so far? He says another. How many have we seen? How many? How many? Four? Five? Peace, brother. Peace. Huh?
Well, you got two hands up.
Well, you remember the first one was the woman. You remember the great sign? He says, "And I saw a great sign, the woman." Remember, she had 12 stars and the crown. And we said that the woman was Israel. And then right followed that was another great sign. And it was a great red dragon. And here's the third one. And he says, "It's great and marvelous." Now, why is it great and marvelous? Oh, he tells you. He says, "For in it." For the very reason. It's great and marvelous for this very reason. Seven angels having this seven last plagues of God. Why does it say the last plagues of God? Well, this is it. I mean, this is the end. Now, the word plague, I want you to think about that, plague. Where does your mind immediately go? To Egypt. The plagues of Egypt, right? What do you think? Somebody's trying to break into a car. What do you think the word plague means? Death? Okay. Destruction? Okay. Well, misery. Misery. That's a good one. You're shaking your head. What did you say? Sickness. Okay. Well, actually, it's none of those. The word plague here, it has the idea of a wound. You remember another verse that says about the beast, he had a wound. Do you remember there's a verse in, Luke, I believe it is, that says that they shall be beaten with many stripes. This word plague has to do with stripes, with wounding. It means a pounding. Anybody ever seen what them people make clay, potter. Anybody ever seen one of them work? No. Have you ever seen one that they were making, say, a teacup, and all of a sudden their hand slips, and the teacup is marred? They keep working with it. No, they don't either. They take that thing off that wheel, and you know what they do with it? They flatten it. They pound it. Anybody ever seen a real fist fight? I'm talking about a knockdown drag out. And we all say, "Boy, that guy took a Pound. That guy took a
beat down.
A beat down. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not advertising for violence. I'm just making a point. I made me a little mental note about chapter 15. And this was my mental note. This is what helps me remember chapter 15 of Revelation. The day God gives this world a beating. The day God gives this world a pounding. The seven last plagues is God beaten. It has the idea of this. It means to take the fist. Now, I'm just giving you the Greek word for this so that you get the idea of what these words mean. It's not talking about numerous hittings. It's talking about just taking your fist and just pounding somebody. You say, Tom, that's awful. Well, let's think about it. Let's think about it for just a minute or two, and then I'll pick up next week. The Lamb. The Son of God. Our Savior. Took a pounding. All you have to do is go read it. And then all you have to do is look it up medically. Oh, the beating he took from this world. But Dwayne, the difference is it was for you. It was for me. He didn't deserve that beating. He didn't deserve it all, Henry. He didn't deserve those stripes. Remember, it means to strike. The lashes that were so violent that his inward parts were showing. His face beaten to where it says you can't even recognize him. The pounding he took, the mocking he took, the thorns he took, all that he took, the shedding of the blood he took, he did it for you, brother. He did it for me. He didn't care about your skin color. He didn't care about my skin color. Bless God, it was for the lost. He died for the lost. And Hebrews says of how much sore punishment. Of how much sore punishment should they be thought worthy of them that step on him and call it an unholy thing. The blood of the covenant, they count it an unholy thing. He says, of how much sore punishment should they be worthy? I'm going to tell you what they're going to be worthy of. They're going to get their beating. They wouldn't accept Christ's beating. They wouldn't accept Christ taking their beating for them. So now they're going to take it themselves. They wouldn't accept Christ drinking that cup in the garden for them. He said, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Well, the world rejects that. But you know what? They're going to drink it. They're going to drink it. They're going to get their taste of it. They're going to get their feel of it. They're going to get every ounce of it. There's not going to be one thing spared. The Bible says, without pity and without mercy will he bring this on them. You say, but he's a loving God. He'll look on them and feel sorry for them. Not one iota will he feel sorry. You know when he feels sorry? Now. when you come to Him now. You know when He'll have pity on you? Now. When you come to Him now. Today is the day. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation when they made Him angry. Today. Come today. Tomorrow be too late. You'll take your own beating tomorrow. Oh, and what a beating it's going to be. You wait till we get there. What a beating it's going to be. And I take no pride, and I take no glee, and I take no joy in telling people what that beating will be. But I must tell them because they have to know. This world is just going along whistling Dixie. They're going by the graveyard whistling, thinking that'll get them by. Let me tell you something. The day of the vengeance, of the wrath of God is coming. The day of your beating is coming. I'm glad. I'll speak for me. I'm glad. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry You took that beating for me. But praise Your holy name for doing it. Because now I don't have to. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. See you next week.